Welcome to American Indian Living, a program developed by the Native Education and Health Initiative to improve and enhance the health of people throughout the Native communities. American Indian Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he's ready today to help you learn more about your health. Here's Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We've got today a great show ahead for you. We're looking at a theme called the joy of service. And I know throughout Indian country, as we speak about this theme, many of you have told me that you're in your community, you're on the res, you're working there because you wanted to give back. And you talk about how you're getting joy in serving people around you. Others of you, as you're tuning in today, maybe you're not from a Native American background. We have many non-Native listeners. Or you're maybe living in an urban area. You're saying, I'm not really giving back. I don't have much joy in service. I'm not really serving. I'm just glad to have a job and I'm working. Well, whatever the case may be, we want to reconnect you with something that's really a deeply held value throughout Indian country. It is indeed the joy in service. To do it, I have some very interesting guests in the studio with me, with really, I think, a fascinating story of a journey as far as service, and you might use terms like ministry, giving back, helping, whatever adjectives you use, however you describe it, it's a story I think will resonate with many of you. My first guest is Dr. Nita Hillman. Nita, it's great to have you with us on American Indian Living.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Nita, you come with a very interesting background to the show. Presently, if you were to identify yourself by occupation, what would you say you do?
Actually, what I would first identify myself as is an internal medicine physician. So I work primarily with adults. I always love to say that I don't do children or pregnant women, but for the most part, I work with adults.
That's a good way to describe it. Being an internal medicine specialist myself, I often use the same terminology, and people get the idea. I also usually tell them I don't do surgery.
Yeah, I do say that also. Too. Then they ask me, what do I do?
What do you do, right? So Dr. Hillman and I, both internal medicine specialists. Now, you came fairly recently out of a very busy practice. Tell us a little bit about what you'd been doing up until less than a year ago.
Sure. During my residency at the University of Kentucky, I did primarily internal medicine training and primarily in the hospital. That was where most of my training was. And then during the, just as I came out of training, knowing that my focus and my joy was actually working in the hospital, I looked for specifically what they call a hospitalist position. And what that means is that if you were sick enough to be admitted into the hospital and you needed to stay in the hospital overnight, then I would take care of you. And there's a group of physicians who are highly trained in that area because the field is becoming more and more specialized than just what's being done in the outpatient setting. And so for two and a half years, I did that. I worked at Holland Hospital in Michigan, in a wonderful practice, in a small community, actually seeing a wide range of very complicated illnesses in the hospital and just caring for patients during the time they're in the hospital.
So you were in this role of what we call a hospitalist. So give our listeners a feel for the kind of day-to-day things you would do. What kind of things does a hospitalist do if they're not familiar with that?
Sure. So we have a group of about three of us in the practice who would wake up every morning, come and see patients who had been admitted to the hospital overnight because they either had chest pain and so they were concerned about a heart attack. And so we wanted to monitor to see if they were having any signs of having an impending or ongoing heart attack. Maybe they'd had a stroke. Maybe they had a cold or a flu that became more complicated and they were having a difficult time breathing. Maybe they have COPD or obstructive lung disease and they can't just even eat or move around at home without any additional help. And so we help get them through that acute acute period. There are times where things are more serious. You know, if someone's having a difficult time breathing, and then we would find out that really, actually, it has to do with fluid in their lungs from their heart, or a newly diagnosed cancer that they did not know about before. Maybe someone came home and they found a family member passed out and didn't know what was going on with them, and they brought them into the hospital, and we're trying to help them sort through what it was, why they can't continue living the life that they're living at home and how to, and whether it's anything serious or ongoing, or whether it's something that we can take care of quickly.
So in the old days, we would typically maybe have a family doctor, and that family doctor would perhaps even see us in the hospital. They would see you as an outpatient, then they'd go into the hospital, they'd be caring for you. But today, many times, the doctor that you see as an outpatient is not the same one that takes care of you in the hospital, because they have these groups of hospital-based physicians, right?
Right. And it's actually, it's a beauty. I enjoy and I love working with our outpatient physicians. The joy of doing it this way is that there is someone available 24 hours to help answer questions that family members may have, because we can't be in the hospital as a family member. I can't necessarily be in the hospital 24/7 with my family member that's there, but I know that there is someone there who's caring for them at any time that they have any need to address any issue, however serious or even simple that it may be in the hospital. And then also the type of medicine, the type of issues that they're dealing with are things that are oftentimes very unique to the hospital setting. And so I know that I have a group of physicians there who understand how to deal with those issues in a quick and timely way.
So basically, you're in this great practice. It's very fulfilling. You're taking care of these patients in the hospital. I imagine you're getting a salary commensurate to the work that you're doing. And suddenly something obviously happened, because now we're doing this interview in California, and you are based now on the West Coast. Is that correct?
Correct.
So was it you were just a highly sought after hospitalist, and there's this better position in California? Is that what drew you out here?
No. Actually, you know, the story starts back in residency. I had actually a pediatrician who does what I don't do, taking care of kids, who was very interested in lifestyle medicine and loved to teach his community about lifestyle medicine. And while I was in residency, he told me, hey, you know, you should come and do this program called the Coronary Health Improvement Project, which essentially teaches the lay community about lifestyle medicine and preventative medicine. And I remember very, I say cockily, I guess, but in a sense, very high-minded. I thought, oh, I've learned everything that I need to, or not necessarily everything I need to, but I learned a good portion of what I needed to in medical school. You know, what else, and in residency, what other training am I going to need that I'm going to spend my already busy time in residency doing additional work and training for? And what I found out was there's this whole field of medicine that I was missing out with my patients. There's a whole fund of knowledge that I was, or a whole group of resources that I was not providing for my patients. And people like myself who are trained in residency don't get this type of residency, this type of training. And
I appreciate that you're struggling to try to communicate to our listeners this unique aspect of medicine, and that actually, I think, adds flavor to what we're talking about, because many people are listening. They're saying, well, you know, here's a doctor, highly trained. I mean, she's got all this training, and she's talking about some kind of community project that's going to teach her something that she didn't already have. So I think, as I'm listening to your story, Dr. Hillman, and as our listeners are tuning in, I think they're kind of on the edge of their seat. They're saying, well, just what is this kind of training that doctors aren't getting? Because my listenership, just so you're aware, they resonate with things that are simpler treatments. They resonate with natural therapies, things that connect them with the Creator, with nature. And I think from what I know about you, that's kind of the direction you're going. Am I reading into the story too much?
So essentially, no. Actually, that's very well put. And what I realized is that my patients were oftentimes saying, I don't want to live to be 80, 90 years old. And that's not something that I remember my parents and my grandparents saying. And when you dig deeper into that, what they were saying is, I don't want to live to be 80 or 90 years old if I have to live like that, meaning mm-hmm. that if I'm going to be debilitated, if I can't function in a community. And what I was noticing was that everything that I was doing would take care of an acute issue. Something goes bad, so I fix it. And I maybe sometimes put a Band-Aid on it, but I didn't give them any resources to make sure that whatever that was, didn't happen again.
Okay.
And so this project was starting to actually look at ways in which we could help a person, maybe who's had an acute issue or maybe not, get to the place where they are not debilitated, where they are actually improving their and living the best quality of life that they can, and preventing some of these very detrimental things that could change the course of their life later on.
Now, we've featured the CHIP program, which was originally called the Coronary Health Improvement Project. I think they're renaming that acronym, but we've featured that on American Indian Living before, but it's been a long time. And many of our listeners, even if they heard one or more shows where we talked about that project, they might say, what are these people talking about? So what I'm hearing you say is you get this invitation. You actually went to this program?
Yeah, I actually participated in it as a layperson and listened to the lectures. I actually went through it myself, ate the food, did the cooking. I walked the walking, did everything that they did in the group.
So tell me about the program. What is it? Just in a nutshell, very simply, what happened?
We get there every night. We listen to a certain topic, whether it's heart disease, whether it's high blood pressure, whether it's cancer, whether it's just nutrition, foods, protein, carbohydrates, all these basic, simple things about health. And then we look at how we can prevent long-term chronic diseases and even some of the acute diseases. And then we learn how to cook the food that will help us live a better life. We learn how to exercise. I mean, there's the very basic elements that maybe some of us have heard about but didn't know how to put into practice.
So why was this so revolutionary to you? Did you see something happen that changed your mind?
Yeah, so the incredible thing with stories, I think many of us resonate with stories. When, we can read something that someone has done, but when we hear somebody who has gone through the project and has seen a transforming experience in their life, it makes an impact. And as a physician, that's what I wanted to do. I went into medicine so that I could make an impact in someone's life to help them live better and to enjoy the quality of their life. And what I was noticing is that I'm, on the one hand, going to the hospital every day, seeing people suffering from, without being able to breathe, suffering from chest pain so they can't walk. They're suffering from, with arms and legs, that aren't working and functioning. And these are people who used to, sew and exercise and do whatever, and then on the other hand, they weren't necessarily getting better. And here, on the other hand, in the evening, I'm going, and people who had suffered these things are now noticing reversal in their disease. It's not just that their heart disease was there and it's getting worse, but it's getting better. And they're living the life that they always wanted to live, and someone is here helping them do that.
So this seed is planted in this during your training years. Then you're out there as a hospitalist, successful in practice, and that seed is germinating, and decide you got to do this full time. Is that what happened?
Well, actually, one of the other physicians who works here with us, Dr. Lukens, his daughter and I were at the University of Kentucky together. She was doing anesthesiology, and he would come and visit. And as he's visiting, he would mention, "Hey, you know what? Someday you should come out and see what we do out at Weimar, and see how we're actually helping our patients get better."
Dr. Hillman has got a lot more to say and some practical insights for you. We've also got her husband, in the studio with me. You're going to hear from Jim Hillman as well, and some of the fascinating turns their life has taken over the last year. You don't want to go away, because we've got a lot more coming up on today's edition of American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Some very practical things coming up that will make a difference in your life. Stay tuned for more.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living Radio program is sponsored in part by Weimar Center of Health and Education. Located in the foothills of Northern California's Sierra Mountains, Weimar is home to the Residential New Start Lifestyle Program that helps people of all races address diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and related conditions. To further assist Native Americans with their health, Weimar produces a wealth of free resources that can be accessed on their website at newstartclub.com. To learn more about how Weimar can change your life, you can call 1-800-525-9192. The number again is 1-800-525-9192. Or you can access them on the web at newstartclub.com. Again, that's newstartclub.com.
Some important social statements by United States citizens today. On policy.
To be a good American, you've got to like people, share things, and not scream at people. And you should also help them, and then you can share at them.
A statement on historical tradition and our form of government.
I love America because it got government full of people, and full of people, and full of people.
A statement on down-to-earth American idealism.
I like living in America because it means freedom. It means that you can do most stuff you want as long as it doesn't, like, hurt anybody and you have to work hard to keep it.
America, a statement in summary.
I love America because everybody's equal. And when you play with other kids and they dunk you, you can dunk them back.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. Dr. David DeRose here with you in my studio today, Dr. Nita Hillman. Dr. Hillman, as you've been listening, you realize she is a board-certified specialist in internal medicine. I don't know if she actually gave that designation in the first segment, but that's her background. We share that common background together. Dr. Hillman, if you're just joining us, had explained to us that out of residency, she went into a busy hospitalist practice and has been giving us a little bit of a flashback as to how her perspective as a young physician was changed by attending the Coronary Health Improvement Project. Nita, we're going to pick back up on that note. I know you'd given us a little bit more information about how you had some significant people in your life who molded your perspective on your career, but maybe we could just step back for a moment about the CHIP program. And you told us that you were motivated by stories. And in Indian country, people relate to stories. I don't know, do you have any stories that you remember from that CHIP program? Anything that sure. moved you?
Sure. One in particular, and it's one that I relate oftentimes to patients. There was a gentleman who had attended a CHIP program, and he was going to be scheduled to have some hemorrhoids removed, some very painful hemorrhoids. And as he was listening to the program, he remembered someone, or he recalled someone saying, you know, if you can improve the amount of fiber that you're eating in your diet, many of these colon problems, which hemorrhoids are related to that with blood vessels around the colon. He said, you know, if I would just increase the fiber in my diet, then I could maybe reverse some of these problems. And he got really angry because he was about to take part in a very expensive surgery to remove this very painful condition. And so he, in order to challenge what the physician was saying, or what the project person was saying, decided to take on the challenge of eating as much fiber as he could and seeing what would happen as a result. And his surgery was scheduled in for 3 weeks. In about 2 weeks, he called and canceled his surgery because of the improvement. The pain was gone, the bleeding was gone, and what had been previously given to him as an only option being surgery, now with simple dietary changes, had actually improved.
It's interesting that you tell this story because when I was in my training as well, I spent some time with a kind of innovative project. It wasn't an outpatient program. It was at a lifestyle center. And I had a similar experience. I saw people getting well with conditions that we would seem to put these Band-Aids on in the hospital. And I was astounded because people were avoiding surgeries or medications. And that does leave a real impression on you, doesn't it?
It does. And the thing is, it's that he could have these hemorrhoids removed, and it doesn't mean that it's going to prevent another set from coming up again. And so it doesn't mean that the original cause of the pain was going to be gone. But now here is something where he didn't have to have the surgery. A Band-Aid wasn't placed. The underlying cause was taken care of. And now not only is he looking forward to enjoying his life now, but he doesn't have to worry about this problem coming up again.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great. And so experiences like that, you have those. That was during your medical training?
During residency.
Okay.
I remember him mentioning that, mentioning that story. I remember even so taking those principles from mm-hmm. the Coronary Health Improvement Project and actually sharing it with my patients in the hospital then, when I was in practice on my own in Holland Hospital as a hospitalist, I would share these stories with my patients and how to actually make those changes. It turns out my nurses would be listening in on what I would be sharing. And I remember actually one of my nurses, Barry, he looked like he'd lost a lot of weight in a few months. And I don't know if I just hadn't noticed that it had been happening. Mm-hmm. I pulled him aside and I told him, hey, Barry, I'm really concerned. You look like you're losing a lot of weight very quickly. I just want to make sure that you've had, your cancer checkup done, that, you haven't, you've had your colonoscopy or whatever test you need to have done to make sure that you're not having some kind of cancer going on. And he said, oh, no, Dr. Hillman, I'm just doing your program. I said, what program are you talking about? Because I wasn't thinking of any program in particular. And he said, no, I'm just doing your program. And, I'm eating an extra amount of fiber. I'm taking my relative to the gym and working out while he's doing his physical therapy. And yeah, I've just been losing weight just by doing normal, natural things. And I thought, and it was such a dramatic difference in him, mm-hmm. and he was looking so much healthier. I remember thinking, wow, this works. And not that I didn't believe that it worked, but just to actually see people being able to put it to use and their lives changing, it was incredible.
So you've seen people's lives change. You see them making these lifestyle changes. It seems like things are going well in Michigan. But then some months ago, you and your husband decided to pull up roots in a comfortable location there in Michigan and come all the way out to the West Coast. Tell us, first of all, what you're doing right now.
So right now I work at the Weimar New Start Lifestyle Center. So we have patients that come in who have noticed that they need to make a change in their life. Otherwise, their life is going to continue going down in a spiral down in a bad direction. And so they're coming to us and asking us, how do I make these changes in my life? And so we help them in an 18-day program learn how to cook, how to exercise, how to do the same kinds of things that I was learning back in the CHIP program. And we're helping them put those tools to use.
So what enticed you to come all the way from Michigan to California?
It was actually Dr. Lukens. Dr. Lukens had asked me several times to come out, and what he kept telling me were the stories of the people who came through. And again, it's that going back to those stories again. that there are physicians who have been doing this for a long time. They're well trained in this, and that they would teach me to do what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And so I had the privilege of being able to say, okay, I'm trying to work my full-time job in Michigan and trying to learn this on the side. What about taking a year out and saying, instead, I'm going to come, I'm going to learn how to do this full-time, immerse myself in it, and learn from those who are doing it and doing it well.
So basically, it sounds like in the medical community, we talk about doing a residency and then maybe doing a fellowship, further specialty training, or subspecialty training, as we call it. It almost sounds like your approach in coming to Weimar was kind of like a fellowship. Yeah. Is that a fair way to describe it?
Yes, yes. And to get and to actually see it and do it and to watch and to learn from the experience of those things that we don't necessarily see in the textbook that we got in medical school or the textbook that we got in residency, to actually see from the experience, hey, this is how we do things, this is how we coach a patient, because every patient is an individual. And if we were to write all those stories in all the textbooks that we had, there's no way we would be able to capture all of those experiences in one book. And so to actually be there and experience it, it's a privilege. It's quite a privilege.
So just in fairness to all our listeners, many of you who are tuning in today realize that among my responsibilities, in addition to hosting American Indian Living, I do also practice some at the New Start Lifestyle Clinic there at Weimar. So Dr. Hillman is now one of my colleagues. And although I spread myself between radio and college teaching and lecturing and other things, Dr. Hillman, even though you're speaking about learning here, you're really a very vital part of the treatment team, aren't you?
Yeah, yes. And that's one of the neat things about medicine, is that we each draw from the wisdom of each other and the experiences of each other. And so my experience in the hospital of seeing patients who are acutely ill helps me in being able to then give a perspective to the guests here of what they can do to avoid many of those acute hospital and repeated hospitalizations over and over again.
Well, since we're talking about your experience, we're talking about joy and service in this segment, we also want to give you the privilege of serving our listeners by giving them some practical insights into health. But before we do that, Dr. Hillman, let me ask you a question. You obviously, in coming into more of a training position, were probably not given a raise when you came here. Is that correct?
I wasn't. But again, it's the thing that I'm reminded over and over again. And my husband and I come from a faith background of Christianity, and we trust and believe that God, who gave us life and who has taken care of us, will continue to take care of us if we serve those that He calls us to serve. And so, I never went into medicine for money to begin with, or for the material rewards. So I definitely don't want to continue serving just for the material rewards. And truly, seeing the lives change, as trite as it may sound, seeing lives change gives me joy every day. And in fact, I think my older sister even told me, she said, every time that you talk to me about your day and what brought joy to your day, she said, you keep relating to me what it is that you are doing with the patients that you see from day to day.
Tremendous. Well, I promised you that you're going to be hearing from Jim Hillman. You're going to also be hearing some practical pointers from Dr. Anita Hillman as we come into our next segment of American Indian Living. We do have to step away just for a minute, though. You don't want to miss those pointers, some things you can do in your lifestyle that will make a difference, then some insights from Jim, and then wrapping it all up. You want to stay tuned for more. Don't go away.
American Indian Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
America's veterans have served our country in both war and peace.
It's because of people like you that we are free.
My class was learning about war and how hard it is.
I wanted to do something to let them know how I feel.
Now there is a way to thank them for helping keep America free. Log on to thankyouveterans.org and type a personal message of thanks.
Dear Dad, I've recently come to understand how important your service to America was, and I just wanted to say thank you.
There are 26 million veterans living in America today, from World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq.
We carry our experiences inside. It's nice to have someone say thanks.
Let a veteran know you appreciate their service. Log on to thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
This is the Duchess of York. What's really important in your life? It's your family and your friends. But isn't it also your health? People who are overweight or obese are at a greater risk for illnesses such as cancer. Check your BMI or body mass index. The lower the number, the lower the risk. So lose weight in a healthy way. You'll lower your BMI number. Now, isn't that important? Visit the website of the American Cancer Society at www.cancer.org. You and your family and friends will be glad you did.
Thank you for listening to American Indian Living. If you missed some of the discussion, CD copies of today's show are available. CDs of previous broadcasts are also available. Our email address is AmericanIndianLiving@lifetalk.net. CD requests and comments can also be communicated by phone at 1-800-775-4673. That's 1-800-775-4673. Stay with us for the second half of today's program.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We're speaking with Dr. Nita Hillman and with Jim Hillman. Jim is joining us in this segment. I know many of you have come back because you're excited about hearing Dr. Hillman's preventive medicine pointers, insights that will make a difference in your life. She hasn't abandoned us. She's still in the studio. You'll be hearing from her in a little bit, but we wanted to bring Jim in just to give us a little bit more flavor for the journey that the two of them have been on. Jim, you, like me, did something that some people would say may not be the wisest. Other people would say it's the most intelligent thing you could do, and that is we both married physicians. And when I married my wife, there were some changes in store for my life because of training and practice opportunities, and I ended up moving early in my career for my wife's job, and I gather you can relate to my situation a little bit. Is that true?
Yes, yes. I had no idea what I was getting into, I guess you could say. And yeah, we, of course, made this move together. In fact, yesterday we just celebrated our third anniversary.
Wow, congratulations.
So we're still newlyweds. So I guess in one respect, since we're still newlyweds, I just thought I'd come along since we're still get along pretty well.
No, that's good. But, we're glad you're here. You basically were well situated in Michigan. You were working there, you had a job that you enjoyed. Do I understand all that right?
Yes, yes. We both were working there, both enjoying our jobs. And, of course, I was born in Michigan, so I consider Michigan my home. I've moved away several times, but I always seem to move back. So, Lake Michigan is a beautiful place. Of course, California is nice, too. But we were settled there. We'd been there for 2.5 years before we came out here, so...
So how was it for you? I mean, your wife is sharing this vision for preventive medicine. Is it something that you had already shared before the two of you even got acquainted?
Well, my interest in preventive medicine has grown quite a bit for the past several years. I had an interest before we met, before we got acquainted. I have made some drastic changes in my own life in several different things. I grew up, you know, pretty much your typical American diet, you know, meat and potatoes, you know, a little vegetable here on the side that that we would eat. And, you know, when I was in high school and college, I worked at fast food places. I was a restaurant manager. I worked at some pizza places. And so my diet was not very good for quite some time, but I was active. I was young, and I never really saw any bad effects myself personally. Other than the fact that at one point I recognized that I was addicted to caffeine.
Okay.
And I worked at one of the restaurants I was working at, and I did not like Pepsi products, which I didn't like. I did not like Pepsi, which they had. I liked Coke better, and so I started drinking Mountain Dew because that's the one that I liked of those group. And of course, that at the time had the most caffeine in it. So,
did that affect your health in any way? Did you notice?
Yeah, well, we went on a family vacation one time, and I think down to Mississippi, and I'm sitting at the pool, and I'm looking at my hand, and it's just shaking. Mm-hmm. And I never got headaches, and I was starting to get some headaches on the trip. And I don't know why that I really correlated the two, that I was not drinking any more Mountain Dew on the trip, and I wasn't having as much caffeine, but I knew that I was basically having some kind of withdrawal from caffeine. And not that I always slept well. I mean, it didn't seem to have any effect on me, but I knew enough that I said, okay, I'm going to stop drinking it. Mm-hmm. So I don't remember what the non-caffeinated beverage was that I started drinking. Still, that wasn't good enough for me either. But so I stopped drinking the caffeine. And when I was in college, I was working. I was a restaurant manager. I was going to school full-time. And it was also a period in my life where I was in the party scene, I guess you could say. And so I was doing all those things full time, basically, and burning the candle at both ends and in the middle, so to speak. So I started drinking more caffeine again. Mm-hmm. And I started sensing that I was having, I could feel my heart race sometimes, and I almost had panic attacks, I guess you could say, mild panic attacks. And again, I correlated it with all the caffeine that I was having.
Okay.
So I stopped once again. And so I guess you could say those things started an interest in health and at least being healthier than what I was. And seeing some people, some older people, and how they were living and just seeing them at an older age basically not living.
Right.
Their health was terrible. And I don't want to be like that. Mm-hmm. And so I had an interest in being healthier. However, over the past several years, that interest has grown. I've learned much more. Part of that, Nita had mentioned, you know, we come from a faith background. I had not always had that background, but part of that background is healthy living. Mm-hmm. And so I've learned more about that. And so, you know, I became a vegetarian through choice. I think that there are some biblical principles that we can see from, that we can learn from. But I mainly did it more for health. I learned some of those biblical principles, but I mainly did it for health. There's health problems in my family, you know, genetically. I mean, people in my family have had cancer, high blood pressure, on medication for high blood pressure, high cholesterol, all these common ailments here in America. And I did not want to join that group in my family. Mm-hmm. And one of the phrases that I've heard since we've been here at Weimar is that, you know, genetics loads the gun, so to speak, but lifestyle pulls the trigger.
Okay.
And I appreciate that, phrase. I've used that several times myself. And so I figured that I wanted to do what I could do so that I could have a healthy lifestyle, that I could be in good health, that whatever I chose to do in life, that I could do it at my full potential.
Now, what's amazing to me is you guys, even though you came all the way over to California, it seems like you weren't content with just staying in California. And the next thing I knew, I heard that you and Nita were making a trip to Africa, and you were involved with some health project there. Tell us a little bit about that, Jim.
Yes, we recently went to Tanzania on a mission trip. And we went last year on a similar mission trip to Honduras, and we were asked this year to help plan, coordinate the mission trip. And Nita was planning and coordinating the medical aspect, I was doing more so the evangelistic aspect. Again, this is through our church. But we went to Africa. Of course, there's a lot of need over there. Much of it, education, just simple education, mm-hmm. doing simple things, the same kind of things that you know, are taught here at Weimar. But we brought over lots of medical supplies. And one of the things that we wanted to focus on was not just a hit and run kind of mission. You know, I think that happens more too often than it should. Mm. We wanted to actually make some kind of impact, a lasting impact, rather than just, you know, my have this pain, you know, here's some medicine we can give you. It's going to run out in 10 days after we're gone, but, you know, you can at least have 10 days of less pain. We wanted to try and help them and teach them things they could do so that pain would be gone.
So kind of like the same things that Nita's learning and practicing here in Weimar, you want to bring to Africa. Is that the idea?
Exactly, exactly. Not just help them for a little while, kind of like going back to the old phrase, you know, teach a man to, or give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, you feed him for life.
Right.
So we wanted to give them practical things they could do as well, you know, alleviate their suffering right there and then, of course, mm-hmm. as well. But then also educate them so that they could also be able to live a healthier lifestyle, that their life would be more fulfilling, more productive, and healthier. So we went with that goal in mind. And so we taught, we had meetings at night that did Bible education, but we also did a section where we did health education as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so just simply asking them to drink more water.
Okay.
You know, many things that they are suffering from could be helped by drinking more water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, many of the people don't drink any water over there. Of course, their water supply is not as well as it is over here.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, our water supply has problems here too, but I think I would rather drink the water here than over there.
I think that's a good good decision, Jim.
So, you know, just helping them understand some of the simple things that they can do. And, you know, this is something that anybody can share. You know, you don't have to be a doctor to help somebody understand that they should drink more water, or how to lift things properly so they don't hurt their back in the first place,
mm-hmm.
or just, you know, eating more fiber. Just, you know, simple things that anybody can really grasp the concept of and share with somebody else.
And I know you've got a pretty diverse background. You were sharing a little bit about having some restaurant background. I know you have a sales background. You've also done some pastoral type work over the years. So you're telling us that although someone, a health professional, sure, they can share with people health information, but you don't have to be a health professional to give back to people and have the satisfaction of helping people live healthier lives. Am I hearing you right?
Exactly, exactly. Now, don't get me wrong, being a health professional can help. You know, if you got a white coat on, you know, some people might listen to you more and respect you more, or say, "Hey, I should listen to them." But you know, and they can go deeper into some things that I never, you know,
sure,
never be able to. But you know, there's, you know, around the world. I mean, I haven't been, you know, a huge world traveler or anything, but from my short experience in Central America, my short experience in Africa, and traveling to many of the states here in America, you can see that. You boil things down, most people have the same problems, issues, mm-hmm. concerns. They're just more magnified some places than others. And so you can help those more common concerns. And again, simple things can help all those things.
You're listening to Jim Hillman, Jim and Nita Hillman, husband and wife team who've been finding joy in service. They've been actually they pulled out from their comfortable living situation in Michigan. It wasn't enough to go out to California. They're doing things overseas. But we're sharing this on American Indian Living because I think many of you can relate to this dynamic. There's people all around you, whether you travel outside your community, whether you're on the res and you leave and visit family across the country, whether you're doing something in your backyard or hundreds of miles away, like Jim is saying, the common needs that people have, very, very similar, and it often boils down to very simple lifestyle things. We're not going to leave you hanging in today's show. We're going to talk about those very simple lifestyle things that you can do. First, we're going to hear a little bit from Jim on that topic, and then we're going to go back to Dr. Nita Hillman. Jim, as a layperson, you've been sharing some of your own journey and about your getting away from caffeine. What other high points have there been in your health journey, things that you think make a difference?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I think one of the big things that has helped me is I became a vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never really had any health problems. I mean, I was 23 when I became a vegetarian.
Okay.
So I wasn't feeling aches and pains, and I wasn't having all these problems. But when I decided to become a vegetarian, I think that I knew that would bless me later on in my life.
Jim has touched on some important things about what we eat and what we drink. We're going to come back to those subjects, some powerful things you can do that not only can make a difference in your life, but can give you some greater joy in serving others, things you can share with others. Don't go away. Stay tuned for our final segment of American Indian Living. I'm Dr. DeRose. We'll be right back.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
Today's American Indian Living radio program is sponsored in part by Weimar Center of Health and Education. Located in the foothills of Northern California's Sierra Mountains, Weimar is home to the residential New Start Lifestyle Program that helps people of all races address diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and related conditions. To further assist Native Americans with their health, Weimar produces a wealth of free resources that can be accessed on their website at newstartclub.com. To learn more about how Weimar can change your life, you can call 1-800-525-9192. The number again is 1-800-525-9192. Or you can access them on the web at newstartclub.com. Again, that's newstartclub.com.
With nerves of steel, with incomparable courage, with fierce determination, with uncompromising resolve, the men and women of the United States Armed Forces go forth. And wherever and whenever they go, the USO will be there to touch their spirit, to comfort them, to remind them, to simply and heartfully thank them for the extraordinary gift they give us all. Until every brow is soothed and every hand is held, until every battle's won and every song is sung, until everyone comes home. Find out more about the USO and how you can help at USO.org.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian Living. We're in our final segment of today's edition of the show. I've been speaking with Dr. Nita Hillman and her husband, Jim, getting a perspective from a couple, one of whom is a health professional, the other is a layperson, but they've both been sharing health principles and really finding joy and satisfaction in doing that. Nita, is that really an accurate crystallization of what you've been sharing, or are you pretty, did I drag you into here, and what's going on?
No, yes. It's definitely both of us. This is what we do and what we love to do from day to day is just sharing health principles. We do it even when we're off the clock. So,
do you really?
Yes.
So, like, if you're at a social gathering, you might be telling people about their diet?
Maybe not while they're eating, but,
okay.
But definitely if they ask. Once they actually, you know, people are interested in their health all the time, that once they hear that you do this type of work, they'll crowd around you and ask you questions. You don't even have to to bore into the time that they're eating.
Well, let me ask you a question, Dr. Hillman. We told our listeners that you'd be sharing some of the pointers, some of the things that you and Jim have really had a joy in sharing because it changes people's lives and helps them. For our listeners, they're wanting to walk away from this show and say, look, we heard something practical that we can do so we can tell those stories and help other people. Sure. What are some of the things that you think are especially important?
One of them in particular is actually exercise, movement, and activity. I think we saw this especially in Michigan with a gentleman who his daughter-in-law said, hey, come and talk to Dr. Hillman. You know, she's got a couple of things that can help you with your hip pain and your back pain. Mm-hmm. And many times when people are in pain, the last thing that they want to do is move. Okay. Interestingly, just what I tell people to do is if you're in pain or if you're moving, you know, obviously make sure with your physician that you don't have an acute injury. But then, especially if it's chronic pain, do something. Whatever you can do, do it in a short period of time, and then do it multiple times a day. So for example, the gentleman I knew could walk from the chair to the door, and I told him, okay, walk from the chair to the door, but do it 10 times during the day, mm-hmm. even if that's all that you can do, but make sure you do that much 10 times a day. And then tomorrow, if you can do just a little bit more, walk just a little bit further. So he went from the chair to the door, the chair to the sidewalk, and then mm-hmm. from the chair to the you know, stop sign. And that's what he kept doing, but he slowly improved that. So slow increment, start low and go slow is what I mentioned to people.
And so basically what you're sharing is because he couldn't do much at first, the fact that he could do more, ostensibly his pain was improving,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. And one thing that we don't realize is that the more that we move, the more we improve circulation, meaning the more we improve circulation to many of those joints, muscles, bones that have been damaged and hurt. And so we bring those healing cells to those joints so that they can improve in health.
So basically what I hear you saying, Dr. Hillman, is if someone's tuning in today, they maybe have arthritis, they have other orthopedic problems, especially if a doctor or physical therapist has told them they need to move more, this is powerful therapy. But what happens if the doctors caution them about movement? Are some, we don't want to go against the doctor's advice, but are there some of us even in the medical profession that aren't up to speed on the power of exercise?
Sure, definitely. And I think that's where even myself as a challenge, there are times when I told people, oh, well, if you can't, you know, if you're in pain when you do something, then don't do it at all. And I think sometimes we tend to be a little overcautious mm-hmm. in the sense that, you know, if all you can do and you know you can do safely is walk around your home, I wouldn't expect you to get up and go running that next day. So,
right.
So what you do is you start where you are. Start doing what you can do and do it, safely multiple times a day, and then very slowly increase the level of activity that you can do. If it starts to hurt a little bit more, then back off and mm-hmm. go back to what you can do comfortably.
Very good. And for those of you listening, I mean, the take-home point is simply this. Like we said, we're not telling you not to listen to your doctor, but the point is don't put up the barriers. Give your doctor permission to encourage you to move more. Don't be looking for excuses to do less and saying, I can't do it. But press your doctor. Can I do this? Could I do a little bit more? Would it hurt me? If the doctor says, no, don't, there's a specific reason, of course, we don't want you to do that. But I think what both Dr. Hillman and I have found is many people come with those barriers, and we think we're meeting them where they're at by telling them not to do much, and it may be counterproductive.
Definitely.
So exercise is powerful. What about the person who doesn't have orthopedic problems? Their knees feel fine, their back feels fine, but they just hate to exercise. And maybe they're thin, they don't seem to have any health problems. Is there any reason that they should exercise?
Sure, definitely. And one of those things is the mind. One of the things that I've come to appreciate more and more is that my ability to be able to make decisions and the way that my brain helps me make decisions is very dependent on what I do to feed my brain appropriately. And that means not just food-wise, but also with exercise. Exercise improves circulation everywhere. And we know whether it's somebody who's suffering from depression, whether it's mild, moderate, severe, or even just, you know, moods that are not quite stable, mm-hmm. we know that exercise is one of those things that can help improve the ability of our brain to function. So maybe you're an executive who is, you know, who's working hard and you think, I don't have time to exercise. But your ability to be able to make decisions actually improves as you improve the health of your brain through exercise, that you're actually more functional and able to think better and clearer if you do that.
No, I mean, that's a powerful message. And I know throughout Indian country, many times I'll talk with people and they said, you know, our elders told us they used to exercise every morning. I mean, there's some of the tribes in the Southwest, they talk about how it was just a kind of a cultural tradition, if you will, for them to run even. Most tribes very active, whether it was in just living or as a discipline of exercise. So this is something that Native Americans readily assent to, and yet the European mold has been pressed on many people in Indian country, and somehow we can get the idea. It's successful to sit in our rocking chair or reclining chair and watch a sporting event. So I appreciate you really getting us back to that core value of exercise. Now, we can't pass by a point that your husband made about diet, because he was speaking about vegetarian diet. Many of our listeners who are regulars with American Indian Living, they have heard us talk about the benefits of moving to a more plant-based diet. And many tribes, if you look back historically, they were not eating lots of animal products. They were very agriculturally based, whether you talk about the three sisters, the corn, the beans, the squash, whether you talk about agriculture in many parts of Indian country. But Dr. Hillman, where's the research today? And more importantly, what's your experience as a physician? Have you seen people's lives changed by changing their diet?
Yes, and when you were talking before, you told me, you know, what are those stories that you heard? I think that's one of the other things that really challenged me. Hmm. When I hear, in residency, I was taught that if somebody has peripheral neuropathy from diabetes, and that means that they have got numbness or tingling or pain in their fingertips and their toes and their legs, and a very common symptom with diabetes, I was often told that once that starts, it's progressive and eventually will get worse. At the most, maybe you can stop it, but you really can't improve or reverse it. But I would hear that, hey, if you live on a plant-based diet, mm-hmm. you improve, you know, the water intake that you're taking. But again, plant-based diet, removing a lot of those meats, dairy, egg products from your diet, improving circulation, that you can actually start to reverse peripheral neuropathy. That blew my mind. I'd never heard that. No one had ever mentioned that that was even a possibility before. But I'm not only now hearing about it, I'm seeing it happen in patients as circulation improves and as that peripheral neuropathy gets better. Reversing coronary artery disease, it's actually possible, not on the typical diets that even that we oftentimes promote in the office, or that I was taught to promote, but that on a fully plant-based diet, you can not only stop but actually reverse coronary artery disease, and it's actually been shown and proven with imaging.
So you're saying the research is out there showing that you don't have to have a bypass surgery or have angioplasty and stents, you can open up your arteries with lifestyle.
Yes.
And you've seen it in your own patients?
Yes. And here's the amazing thing, something that I forgot. When we're learning medicine, one of the things that we talk about is the fact that our bodies are designed to repair and to fix. So we have an immune system that's in place, that if something goes awry, we're going to, you know, turn things around. Our body can do that. We also have what we know is that we can change these things or give our body the things that it needs to actually do what it was intended to do to begin with.
Well, that's powerful. Dr. Hillman, believe it or not, I know you've got a lot more great material you could share with us, but I think you and Jim both have helped our listeners capture something that's powerful but simple. As you experience lifestyle benefits in your own life through simple changes, it gives you an opportunity to help other people, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Any final words? If people want more information, we didn't have a chance to talk about all that you know. Is there a point of contact you could give them?
Sure. Definitely, you can come to the New Start website, www.newstart.com, or go to the New Start lifestyleclub.com website and gain more information of some of the pointers we were talking about.
Thank you so much. That's Dr. Nita Hillman, and I'm Dr. David DeRose, wishing you the very best of health.
This is Life Talk Radio.